Hey, everybody. You've reached the Mayfair Podcast. I'm Eric.
And this is Josh. It is Sunday, March 3rd, 2024.
Yikes.
We are multitasking at the Mayfair while our friend Marcus, the projectionist, has a birthday party for his kid.
Yeah, and that, when I came in, they thought I was coming to the party. And so I guess his child was like, who are you? But I couldn't see the kid. I just heard the voice. And I'm like, what's going on? I was like, I'm Eric. I don't know. But like, you don't know what that means. So yeah, I'm like, I know Marcus. And then you're like, oh yeah, Marcus. And he's like looking to try to find Marcus. I was like, no, I'm not looking for Marcus. Like, I'm just saying I know that guy.
And it's a good party to crash because they're doing paper airplane contest.
Yeah.
They're doing a scavenger hunt. They're playing video games.
Yeah.
They got pizza.
There are cookies as well. He was quick to tell me the child, I think it was his son. I honestly don't know. It all happened.
Could have been some other kid.
Yeah, but whoever it was like, oh, he ordered cookies because he was going to get pizza at the time. And I was like, oh, cookies. There was balloons, plates, I think they had as well. I'm pretty sure. So yeah, I'm not going to lie. This seems like a pretty good thing to be at. And we're not there right now, unfortunately.
They're ruining our fun because we would be watching a movie if not for them having their fun. I guess other people are allowed to have fun at the Mayfair sometimes too.
Yeah. This has been the fun of now doing these on the weekend has been the see how early Josh can book a booking and screw us over for not doing the podcast that day. But it's more fun because then you're like, okay, we doing Saturday? No, we got Sunday. And it's like, oh, we can figure this out. And I've been jamming Sundays at 2 p.m. So we're like, okay, we can do this at this time. Kind of fun. You know, it's like adult fun where you're trying to plan, you know?
And it's interesting. We're getting more early rentals, which is good for us.
Terrible for us, though.
Yeah, but it's if we can encourage people to say, like, hey, do you want to do a kid's birthday party from 11 a.m. till 2?
Some kid.
Then we've got a whole other rental in. Yesterday, for example, we had a little bit of extra stuff because it was the Kitty Cat Film Festival.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And before that was a private kid's birthday party, which is probably good that we didn't record during it because the kids were watching a concert movie.
Oh my God.
And it was loud.
Kind of like that. I was re-listening to other podcasts and it was that one where they were VOC was practicing.
Oh yeah.
And it was like pretty okay for a while, but then certain times it was just like,
yeah. So today if you hear a kid screaming, it's not a ghost. It's just some kid running by having fun at a birthday party.
They're not screaming because we're scary or anything like that. You know? We'd be really fun at a birthday party, but it's right to not invite us to be honest.
But yeah, so yesterday was really good because we had a rental, the Kitty Cat Festival did well, and then Oscar nominees Zone of Interest and Teacher's Lounge did well.
And The Fog.
The Fog did really well.
Oh, really? Because I was going to jokingly say it did well anyway, just because I love that movie, but it actually did well.
Yeah, both Zone of Interest and The Fog did about 100 people.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if you were out late-ish last night, but I was doing Barda's bedtime walk around 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fog like I haven't seen in a long time.
I did not see that. Although, to be fair, I didn't see the movie either, so I don't deserve to see the real fog.
It was good fog. Like, it was the kind of fog that all you saw was car headlights coming from really far away.
At least they were far away, though. It's like you didn't see them at the last second careening into you.
But it was a good thing. Hopefully people walked out of the fog and were greeted by a big Mayfair fog.
You love a late night fog walk, I assume. Anyway, you've never said that, but it seems like
could
fun.
Be.
That actually makes me feel worse, I gotta be honest. Especially because, so like we went to see Dune Deux yesterday.
How dare you?
Yeah, it was great, obviously. I mean, well, unless you hated the first one, in which case, more of the same. But I was supposed to be, we were having our friends that went to that with us, we're coming over and just hanging out and whatever. And so my friend's cousin was going to be, I guess, in town. So she's like, oh, can he come too? And I was like, oh, for sure. And then he got sick, so he couldn't come. So whatever. And then we got food because it was the VIP, because that's how fancy we are at the theater. We all ordered food and just she didn't feel so good after that. And just so we went home and hung out for maybe half an hour. And then she's just like, yeah, I gotta go. And so I was like, oh, I guess my evening opened up. But then at that point, I'm like, you know, like I'm home and they already, you know, my niece wanted to go see The Fog. She's never seen it. And I love The Fog. And so we didn't have these plans. And then it's like 7 p.m. And I was like, oh my God. So I messaged my sister and I was like, okay, look, late night plans canceled, whatever. We can still do this. But secretly, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of didn't wanna go. Like I did wanna go, but I was comfortable. Anyway, long story short, she didn't get back to me till a bit later and was like, oh yeah, we're already at home in PJs. And I was like, no worries. So yeah, I don't feel good about that. I could have fogged.
Went to a multiplex.
Yeah. Down literally like two blocks away.
And then didn't come to the Mayfair.
Yeah.
And you're saying without being slanderous that somebody got sick by eating at the other place.
Well, she thinks,
that's what I'm saying.
She thinks it was from the crispy chicken sandwich, I believe it was. How Emily and I, you will be pleased to know, got the Impossible Burgers.
Oh.
So, which I'm going to say, not as good as the Beyond Meat Burgers.
Did that evening cost you $325?
It was cheap for theater fare, which was $18. Which wow. was like with fries, you know. Honestly, 2024 prices, an Impossible Burger with fries for $18 is like affordable. It's not, but yeah. For these days, you know. So, but and ours were okay. Like I'm gonna say, you know, pretty good. I feel kind of not great today, but I don't think it's burger related. I think it's
that's good because I feel bad about you going to the other guys. But at least if you had somewhat of a bad experience. That makes me feel better.
The best part was that it says on the menu, they were like, oh, a local craft beer option. And I was like, oh, okay, what is it? And the guy's like, oh, we don't have one. And I was like,
it's a trick.
Okay. And so like, I ended up getting a Creemore, which used to be craft, and then Labatt bought it. And now it straight up just tastes like a Labatt beer, which yeah. I knew it would, but I used to like it back in the day. So I was like, all right, I'm at a VIP thing that I never go to. So let's have fun and feel like trash tomorrow.
Yeah. One thing I'll talk about before jumping into movies, because we got a ton of movies to talk about this week.
Oh, I bet.
And talking about the competition. This happened. What? It's one of those things that's just hilarious and infuriating at the same time. I will tiptoe around it so as not to completely burn bridges with anybody. But we were trying to book a new independent film, and it doesn't work all the time. Yeah. It's really that difficult thing where people say, are you getting this? And we often just have to shrug and be like, I'm not trying to be coy about it. We don't know. We don't know until we get it. So Lee got the response, and it always fascinates me because people in a position where they should be better about dealing with people and just being polite.
Yeah.
All this person had to say was, we're sorry. We're already booked with somebody else. But if you would like it after that, maybe you could have it then. Or, sorry, we're booked with somebody else, so it's not available. And life would have went on. But
instead,
they put in the sentence, I'm sure you understand, but we'd rather go with a more established cinema. And there's a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, yeah.
In that, one, we've been established since 1932 and are the oldest cinema in town by far.
Yeah, and probably in the outer rim, or not outer rim, the outer skirts of the city,
oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
and like one of the oldest in North America.
Yeah, yeah.
And to humble brag about our accomplishments, we're a heritage building. We get praise from all kinds of filmmakers who are so thrilled to screen with us. We host big shot festivals and we have guest filmmakers, all kinds of stuff.
And the Room 170 times.
Yeah, we're the only theater in the world that screened that 170 yeah, yeah. times.
Not sure if that's a point in our favor or not.
Maybe but that's why we didn't get the booking.
Yeah, we'll stick to the Rocky Horror thing. We're like, yeah. That's a better humble brag.
But it's just fascinating
yeah.
that somebody would put that in and think that the business, whether you're a restaurant
yeah.
or a live event space, anything, and say like, why'd you put in that little dig that you think we're not established? And so weird because we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you guys have been running this for 20 years?
2009.
2009. Okay. So still like 15
years.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, on the way to 20. We'll say that anyway.
And all the distributor would have to do would be to look at our schedule the last few months and be like, oh, that big shot independent movie Ottawa premiere.
Sure.
Oh, they held that movie over for another week. Must be doing well.
It's weird as filmmakers to not, I mean, even if you Googled Mayfair Theater, the
yeah.
first thing it says is opened in 1932. Like,
yeah.
if you check the website, literally anything about the Mayfair. And it's funny too, because like, you could easily listen to this and be like, is this sour grapes? But it's not though. It's literally just, it's weird to be like, oh, you know, we're not going to go with the 100-year-old theater. We're going to go with one that's a little newer because it's older. Like, that's kind of the way I'm reading this.
Yeah, and as we speak, Eric and I are in a good position because we've actually got 3 weeks of bookings upcoming.
We could do three in a row, but
we
it's,
could.
It's that's
but
insane.
Eric's not a trooper, so he doesn't want
to. Well, it's only half that. It's number one, I feel like ass, possibly because of the Impossible
the food
Burger
poisoning.
From the VIP. No. But like, I don't know, not feeling super great today, first of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, my wife was nice enough to drive me here, partly because we have to do grown-up stuff after, like,
yeah.
go to Canadian Tire and stuff.
And she's just standing outside right now with her arms crossed.
Yeah, she was invited to be on the podcast, but she's not here. And just, yeah, she's also not feeling super great, and I can just tell there's a vibe. Sundays are tough, you know, because
yeah.
they're Sundays. But anyways, so just to say, yeah, it's already a weird day, but then also to have that, I could tell, like,
and you're right, it's not sour grapes, because I would say we have 3 weeks of programming.
Mm-hmm.
We have all kinds of special events.
Sure.
It's laughably fascinating.
Yeah.
And then where do we go now? Because people are going to ask us, oh, are you screening this movie? Do we be petty?
Here we go.
And just straight up be like,
beautiful.
Oh, they're not allowing us to.
I got to be honest with you. Like, you and I are very alike when it comes to knee-jerk yeah. defensive pettiness. I'm very much that, you know, within reason. I won't cost myself money to make a point.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of bucks just if I'm really feeling petty. But in general, like, yeah, you got to do what's best. You run a business, whatever. You're doing your thing. But at the same time, yeah, I have a huge part of my personality that's just like, oh, really? Well, then, you know, and it's just, you know. So, yeah.
So I think when people do ask, because I think they will, I really think we are the bigger person and we just say like, oh, we weren't able to book that and just leave it at that.
You know, it is what it is. Technically, it's not a big deal, but it's just more a silly way to handle things.
And I bring it up just because it does show, because people ask all the time of various mainstream and independent films.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not just like, you know, if you go to the library or a bookstore or whatever, and you want to order a book, or if you're ordering a available Blu-ray movie,
mm-hmm.
it's not like that for us, where we have to deal with a distributor who wants to go with someone else,
yeah.
or a movie that has gone on to a streaming service, or weird stuff like a sequel is coming out, so they don't want you to play the other one because they think that's distracting. That's the weirdest one.
I was actually wondering about that because I was going to say, like, by the time we get Dune 2, you know, which presumably we will.
We will, yeah.
Like, it would be pretty smart to, and even in theory doing it right now, but probably what you just said comes to bear. But I was like, if we played the first one, like, because I was thinking, I mean, playing them back to back, that's a tall order for anyone. Like, if you were doing like a 6:30 like, and a...
Six God, and a half hours.
And a 10 or whatever. Yeah, so it's like, so that, I get, that's a little crazy. But if you're like, okay, we're getting Dune 2, so Monday we're playing Dune 1, Tuesday we're playing Dune 2, like a back, something like that. That could work, because I think this is around the time I just rewatched the first Dune Friday night, I guess. And I was like, oh my God, like there's probably a lot of people who missed this on the big screen. Now they're like, oh no, the second one's here. I want to see the first one on the big
screen.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, Cineplex should have jumped on that, if I'm being honest. But anyway, so like, I was like, yeah, that would be kind of a smart thing. But I don't know if that's a weird thing, like you just said, if they're just like, no, we don't want that, like, because it's the second one and people can be
it
confused.
It is weird, and I'm not 100% on this, but I think their logic, which debate club, you could take their side on this, is that Dune 1 is on whatever, HBO Max or whatever.
Yeah.
So they want you to be focused on that. Like, sure. That's your only place to see it.
But it's got part one, part two. It's like the same movie, kind of. Like,
I know Denis Villeneuve would rather it be on the big screen for you to see as a refresher course before part two comes out.
It is very, though, but they've done stuff like that where they did, I don't think it was Harry Potter, but they've done ones where maybe it was The Hobbit or something like that, where they did like three in a row as a special event sort of thing. So it's like, it's genuinely random to me that Cineplex, who's apparently starving for money at times or whatever, I don't even know anymore, but like, it's kind of weird that what you say is true. I mean, it's on Crave or whatever it is, but people would have done that. They would have gone to both parts, or they would have done a day of it, whatever. That would have been a fun event.
Well, I remember specific examples of before we knew the train wreck that Man of Steel and that whole DC universe would come to be, we wanted to screen Superman before Man of Steel came out because that'd be fun, you know?
Yeah.
Show the old one before this new reboot comes out. And the answer was no. And I think that happened the same with Batman and other stuff, where it's a weird logic, but they think it's a distraction if the other movie comes out before. Or maybe they think that kids today don't want to be reminded of the old stuff. And if we screen 1970s Superman, they'll think, whoa, this is what the new one is.
Or Batman 66.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's very strange. So it's always a battle. And there's some great distributors who they don't care. And they're just like, yep, take our cool old movies, play our catalog. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always some that there's always this weird battle of trying to get their stuff out. And especially nowadays in the digital age, at least in the film age, they might be like, we've only got a couple film prints of this. We're screening it in LA right now, so you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays it's all digital, so it's not hard to get any movie. And that's why the more and more you see a screening, whether they're some crazy old weird drive-in movie that we're getting thanks to a place like Vinegar Syndrome,
mm-hmm.
or a more mainstream film that we're getting because they're making a Blu-ray release and they make a DCP at the same time.
Yeah.
It's really opened up the catalog, which is great. But it's still this weird thing of every once in a while, an indie distributor goes, nope, you can't have it.
Yeah, and it's pretty surprising. Some of the stuff that they've made a DCP for, I'm like, oh, really? Like, was it the clones of Bruce Lee you said that there's a DCP for?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, cool, but I'm like, that's such an obscure random movie yeah. that Bruce Lee has nothing to do with because he was dead. And we even have a poster for it. I was like, I didn't, yeah. maybe I'm just so used to, I don't know, Grindhouse back in the day stuff where I was like, wait, they made a full poster and a DCP for this random movie that I have heard of, but most haven't.
And I find that too, indie distributors, for the most part, are way cooler about getting out there and helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're screening this comedy called Drugstore June.
Yeah.
And it's a DCP, so it'll look great. They sent us actual posters. They've been all over social media.
They sent us drugs. You're like, okay, yeah. this is getting weird, but all right.
So, yeah, it's fun when that happens just because it's nice having that help. Because we're screening some stuff for March break. We're screening Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
Which is a masterpiece.
And crushing to me that I'll be at work with my adult job. And
you got
to
take the day off.
At noon.
Take a long lunch break.
God, it's so good. And I have not seen it on the big screen. And I kept like begging.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, that's what I was saying. Because I bought the Blu-ray. And I was like, yeah. Josh, can we watch this sometime? And you were like, yeah, but not now. I just watched it not that long ago. And I was like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So I keep waiting. And now I'm like, okay, I know this was just a March break special, but damn it.
And now I'm going to watch it while we have it, and I'll ruin it for you again.
To be fair, I didn't see the first one on the big screen either, so,
so good.
I don't know what to do anymore, but yeah, maybe I call in sick one of those days, maybe not.
Hopefully no one's listening from your work.
No, but it's cool. Like, I'm glad that we got that and not, I don't know, Grease or whatever.
Yeah, and it's an experiment, but we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Because this week, segue into not talking about people who shunned us or multiplexes
or movies we're not even getting anyway.
We've got a packed week because we got a number of one night onlys and special events and stuff.
Love it.
So let's mention the movie screening the week of Friday, March 8th.
Carpenter Fest.
We have Escape from New York. To jump straight ahead to that since
nice.
You mentioned it.
Yeah, I didn't mean to, but
that's okay. We can mention Escape from New York, yeah. which is part of our John Carpenter Fest. This is the, speaking of digital, it's the new digital restoration.
Mm.
Marcus, our projectionist, said it looks great.
Hey, he's in there right now. We could have asked him.
Yeah. We could watch it. The kid wants to watch that, right?
That's true.
Kids love Snake Plissken.
Well, what's funny is my niece, she picked five, I believe. So three of five movies. She did not pick this, weirdly, because I'm like, it's a classic. What's wrong with you? But no, so she, she picked some of the other ones. But I was like, this is a real, like, I don't know. There's something about his early ones, especially like the non-horror ones. Obviously, like, you know, I'm Mr. Horror, so I don't have to talk about that. But just watching stuff like Assault on Precinct 13 or Escape from New York and just the ingenuity and like the use of that no budget, more or less, like comparatively, is just like so. I think a lot of it is the score that really kind of winds you in, and just the way some of the shot compositions and stuff like that. You're just like, oh my God. Even just like kind of watching like some of the early Sam Raimi stuff. This is a guy who knows how to make things happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I didn't love John Carpenter's scores just because I was a big John Williams fan. You know, I liked orchestras.
Couldn't be any more different.
But now, just him at the keyboard by himself plinking away.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Because it's so different and so of its time.
Mm-hmm.
And was definitely the opposite, because John Williams really kind of, not that long before Escape from New York, brought back that big orchestra sound and made it that it was top of the charts. Like, it was selling albums to people. Classical music was selling to people. So then for John Carpenter to show up and be sitting at a keyboard, it's so good.
Yeah, I definitely had not quite the same time period, but I had the Jurassic Park CD, like the soundtrack score. I mean, not gonna lie, it was like, mainly I was listening to the main theme and stuff like that. Just some, because I've always found it like fascinating when someone buys, I don't know, especially if it was like an LP or something, but like when they buy the soundtrack for a score that's kind of like intense, like say like The Omen or something like that, that's like crazy intense. And I've just never really, I love the picture of someone just sitting there in their living room, and they're like, oh yeah, they're like just chilling. And it's like, chunk, 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 chunk. And like, I went to a record store in Montreal and they were playing the Omen 3 soundtrack or something so random. Literally, you're looking at records and it was like, oh, and it was like, this is so distracting and kind of terrifying. And I don't know how someone can sit down and enjoy these as a listening experience, but as a movie watching experience. So great, obviously.
Yeah, it's strange because I wonder when it started. When did people start putting soundtracks onto vinyl or CD? I don't think it was a thing. I could be wrong, but I don't think, say, Planet of the Apes in the 60s or Dracula in the 30s, I don't think they came out on for home listening.
A big 80s thing for sure.
Yeah.
But there was certain ones that you could maybe, well, there, I mean, something like an American Graffiti or whatever, something like that. You expect obviously. But like when it strictly scores, I remember thinking that was so like wild. And some of the ones that you see for anyone who hits up record stores and stuff like that, just ones where you're just like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. Just the most random, who would buy this score kind of thing.
I was joking about that. We watched The Zone of Interest, which was great, but it has a haunting, creepy, almost horror movie type score sometimes.
Laugh riot.
And I leaned over to my friend and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to get that score and like put it on while I'm doing dishes. Man, you know?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know. It's funny. Like, I really liked the ones that were more like A Beautiful Mind or like even Gladiator. The Rock has a really good score, weirdly, that you wouldn't think of. And I had that and it was like 10-minute songs. So it's just weird. I've always had a lot of respect for that, but also found it very curious that people who, and I respect it, but the people who can throw on a score, like an intense score, especially like a horror score, and just be like, oh yeah, those violins are going ham. Oh, right.
So then I'll move along just because I realized we do have March Break to talk about this week as well.
Okay.
Holy cow, this is a packed week.
It's all right. We're flying through.
We have One From the Heart reprise, which is, to me, a long-lost Coppola film. I swear, I've never heard of this movie somehow.
This ruined him.
And
he went bankrupt because of this movie.
It's amazing to look at it in that sense of Godfather, Apocalypse Now, and then this movie, which barely got released, giant flop. But the reviews, especially from now, are all, and I'm paraphrasing, but they're all like, if one movie from the 80s deserves a second look, it's this movie. And it was Oscar nominated just for Tom Waits' music. And it's got Terry Gard and Raul Julia in it.
Ooh.
And just the trailer, it's just, Lee has said this a couple times, of just like how old movies are like new movies now. Because these re-releases look so good, and a lot of them are kind of under the radar, where the average person hasn't heard of it, so it's like a new movie. And then even a movie nerd like me has never seen it.
Well, a lot of times now they're recutting trailers to be more modern-ish.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, some of those ones you watch from back in the day, they're like 4 minutes long and plotting, and you're just like, what is happening here? You know, and
it's the hardest thing now where, on a rare occasion, we have a week where we don't screen a retro movie. Mm. Usually we do at least one a week. But modern trailers, for the purpose of this podcast, are useless because they don't have the voiceover guy saying One From the Heart. And so sometimes it's so hard to find something to put on at the end because there's no narration in modern trailers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always think about that when they make a new trailer like this one for One From the Heart. I'll have to go back and try to find an old radio ad or something.
But there'll be a ton, because they'll be like, Francis Ford Coppola thrilled you with Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Now, find his heart. You'll be, and oh, P.S., what's the difference between reprise, like, is there added footage, or is there anything different about this at all, or?
I don't know. They're not advertising it as, like, a special edition in that way.
So it just, so it, I it's think just it's more just like, check it out, because you never watched it before.
Yeah, and it's like, picture, sound, music.
Okay.
All restored and everything.
Okay, gotcha.
But I could be wrong, but I don't think he tossed in a couple more scenes or anything.
Okay, so, perfect.
So then for new films this week, we have a Canadian documentary called 500 Days in the Wild about a woman who hikes across Canada, which is, you know, we're a big country.
Lord, I get, and that's one of those things where I'm like, I respect the hell out of that. That's amazing. I would never be able to do that.
I mean, taking a train across Canada is an ordeal. So walking across it.
I would take the train. I would do that part. But sleeping in the wild, possibly having to battle bears or whatever, I'm not doing any of that.
That happens in Canada all the time.
I know, constant bear attacks.
So this is an award-winning documentary. It won at Vancouver International Mountain Film Fest, Victoria Film Fest, Whistler Film Fest. And Original Sin calls it an epic achievement.
Amazing.
We do well with those because, unlike us nerds, we have a lot of nature folks who come out and see these types of documentaries.
Yeah, it'll probably be packed.
So then, a new film from Wim Wenders, acclaimed filmmaker. This one, Best Actor at Cannes and was a Palme d'Or nominee. Perfect Days is a character piece about a guy with a normal job who loves his life and listens to music and makes the best of things. And it's just supposed to be a really nice, heartwarming, life can be okay type of movie.
Wait a minute. So you're not pulling the rug out at the end? It really seemed like you were about to say, until he gets cancer.
I don't think so. I haven't seen it. But so the synopsis is, Hirayama is content with his life as a toilet cleaner in Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
Outside of his structured routine, he cherishes music on cassette tapes, books, and taking photos of trees. Through unexpected encounters, he reflects on finding the beauty in the world. Okay. So I think it's just a really nice movie where it doesn't end with him, you know, dying. Yeah,
until he gets his arm bitten off by a shark and you're oh no.
I think the conflict in it is he's with his, I think his niece is hanging out with him.
Okay.
And she is having a bit of a rougher time and possibly learns the joy of life through her cool uncle.
And she might be like, oh, what do you know? You just clean toilets. And he's like, the cleaning of toilets is like life and whatever. And she's like, ah, that is like life. I'm feeling better.
We're all going to learn a valuable lesson about house cleaning.
Yeah, this sounds like a good movie.
But yeah, the trailer is really great. And okay. I think it's just, they said it's one of those movies that gets you just because the simplicity of a nice story with a lot of really good pop and rock songs in there.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So yeah, it looks like a fun movie to watch on the big screen.
All right. You sold me.
Yeah. And then the aforementioned 170th screening of The Room.
Nice. It is what it is. I mean, what else can we say?
We're still screening it.
Still happening.
It's your fault because you keep coming back.
Yeah, and Big Shark.
Big Shark
did
well. It'll be coming back.
Thank God, because I still haven't seen it because things keep happening. Like, I have plans that one day or whatever, you know, so yeah.
Got to make the third month when it comes later in the weeks.
I don't know. We'll see. One of these months, I'm going to go for sure.
So then this week, we also have the day after The Room, a super secret Saturday night cinema.
Super secret. And is this the second rebranded one, I believe?
Yeah, I'm keeping the rebrand. Nobody told me to put it back to normal because I think it's nice to just kind of put that super secret in the title. And then maybe people will be like, maybe I shouldn't take a picture of the screen and stick it on my Twitter account.
No. And nobody blabbed on the last one that we
know. I don't think so. Yeah.
So far the rebrand's working.
We did it.
Well done.
And then the next day, it's so funny that we have The Room on Friday, cinema on Saturday, and on Sunday, the Academy Awards.
Perfect. And I believe, unless I'm wrong, I believe it's Escape from New York and cinema back to back.
Yes.
Pretty certain. So that's a fun thing as a side note. Before the Oscars, of course.
Yeah. We don't have time to go into the Oscars right now, if you are unaware of what we do and you're local, we just screen it on the big screen. It's super fun. People get dressed up. Because it's a rarity with commercial breaks, we'll mute the commercials and we do trivia, give out prizes, have best of show for people who get dressed up all fancy. And yeah, it's a really fun, different night because usually we don't encourage you to talk and walk around and mingle.
Or drink booze and
that
whatnot.
Too, yeah.
Because
we'll
I think Smoke Shack. Smoke Shack's going to be here too, I think.
Yeah, Smoke Shack and Beyond the Pale.
Nice, nice.
And so there'll be snacks and booze from them.
So good. And that's the only thing scheduled for the public all day, right?
It is, yeah, because we have a private rental beforehand. So that means at 6 o'clock, we'll have doors for the red carpet stuff. And then at 7 o'clock is the Oscars, which I like because it's a little bit of an earlier night because I think it's so crazy they think it'll only take them 2.5 hours. I believe with the American network, they're hoping it goes from 7 till 10, and then they have some hour-long drama that for people who still watch TV like normal, they hope people will just watch afterwards and then the news. But in all likelihood, it runs 3.5 hours or so. So we'll see. I'd love it if they stick to their guns and go from 7 till 10.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I wouldn't get your hopes up.
No.
And you still have to close off your stuff here and then get rid of 350 people or whatever it is. So
yeah, and what I do is Andrew will be here box office managing and I'm here hosting kind of and marking the ballots because we do the contest of who gets the most awards right.
Gwen's gonna be here as your helper again or no?
I hope so.
So we don't know about that.
And it's just every year, it's just you have whatever 30 awards and we go through and we got to sharpie off all the papers and there's always this confusing math of we're at the 12th award, anybody with 4 or less right can be eliminated, you know, it's always this weird math.
Yeah.
It always works out. I think the most we ever had was a 3-way tie. There was one bonkers year where it was going to be a 7-way tie if movie this one.
Yeah.
And one person if movie the other one. And the other movie won. And so we had one singular winner.
Was that the one too where it was like where they announced the wrong winner at the end?
No, and had that would have made it extra fun.
Yeah, they're like Moonlight is the winner or whatever. Or the no, Moonlight was the winner, I think. It was the La La Land.
I think it might have been Avatar year because nobody actually thought Avatar was going to win. They just thought, yeah, here's all your nominations.
Avatar didn't win Best Picture though, right?
Didn't it? I thought it did.
Nah.
Oh no, maybe it didn't. Maybe that's why. Maybe everybody voted for Avatar.
Yeah, I don't think the Unobtainium won the... I mean, that would have been pretty pretty sad.
Oh, unobtainium.
I still haven't seen Avatar, so no offense. Maybe it is the best.
You haven't
movie.
Seen Avatar 1?
No.
Oh, good for you. See, I've seen Avatar 1, didn't like it, and didn't see Avatar 2.
I just didn't care. Like, I was like, does this look silly as hell?
That's my exact thing. I don't care about you cat people.
It just, yeah, like, I love cats, you know, and yeah. I'm a cat person, but not in that way.
And, like, never say never. Maybe one day I'm on a plane to New Zealand and it's the only thing on or something. But there's just so many other movies I want to see more that it's very low on the list.
I've been told that if you didn't see it in 3D, there's no point. Like, someone said. And I was like, okay, well, if that's true, then that is not a good mark for that movie.
No.
But anyway, I just, it's fine.
Then wrapping up this week, I said earlier, and I didn't realize that March Break is actually in this week. I thought it was next week. So for March Break, we are bringing back The Boy and the Heron.
Right.
And then we have Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is interesting that we're showing those because these are the two best animated feature nominees.
That's cool.
That many people said could have just been best picture nominees as well.
Yeah, to me, Spider-Verse is the winner, whether or not it wins or not. It's just astounding animation.
Oh, I'm so torn. If I was voting, I think I would go with Spider-Verse. Boy and the Heron is also a masterpiece, but if you look at Spider-Verse, I just think, wow, that looked like a lot of work.
Like, it's so many styles, and it's just, it never stops. Like, it's, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how better to say
and
it.
And it also has great character development
and
a lot of heart.
And the score is amazing.
Like, so it's mind-numbing animation, but that could have got boring or distracting if not for such great characters and a very good story in there as well.
Yeah, and even with Cage basically not in it, it somehow was still amazing.
Somehow. With the promise of Cage to come.
Well, see, and there is a rumor of him playing Spider-Man Noir in a TV series, like live action.
Make it happen.
But yeah, I'm like, I feel like that's too good to be true, so it probably won't happen. But still, at the very least, we'll get a third movie next year, I guess.
Something like that.
Yeah, I can
wait. Cage is in that one, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Just take your time. They're so good. So yeah, definitely come out and see these, even if I can't do it.
And then we'll talk about this next time, but then the tail end of our March break is Saturday morning cartoons on Saturday and Sunday, the 16th and 17th. So what a great run of March break, where a couple days of Boy and the Heron, a couple days of Spider-Man, and then Saturday morning cartoons and Sunday morning cartoons. So
yeah.
Lots of good stuff to come see.
And bring your kids to their first John Carpenter film, maybe.
That too.
We don't know. Like, and the toilet cleaning movie, that sounded like a family thing.
Kids love that.
Yeah, all of that.
So yeah, so that is the action-packed week for Friday, March 8th. We're going to wrap things up so Eric doesn't get in too much trouble today.
Yeah, I'm sending the text now.
We're wrapping up,
don't kill me text. So we'll see. She doesn't listen to this, so it's fine.
It's fine.
She's awesome. I have the best wife. She's great. But Sundays are Sundays. We're doing our best.
I mean, she puts up with you and your 35 Nicolas Cage posters in the house.
It's true. She helps me put them up, literally. So, I mean, you know, I got quite a life.
A hero. So thanks for listening, everybody. You can find information, which at the moment is way ahead of schedule because we got so many advanced bookings, at mayfairtheater.ca, and you can check out all the social medias. And we'll be back next week to talk about more movies screening at the Mayfair Theater. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Oh, now we can sneak into some kid's party and steal some pizza.
Pizza and cookies.
Free stuff.
New York, 1997. The entire city is a walled maximum security prison. The bridges are mined. The rivers are patrolled. And the United States Police Force has everything under control.
I'm going in.
John Carpenter's Escape from New York, the high adventure of the future. One man must go in where no man has ever gotten out. John Carpenter's Escape from New York, the greatest escape of them all, is about to blow the future apart.